Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Hey, welcome back to the Dropship Podcast, another Tactical Tuesday episode. Now we've called suppliers, or hopefully you've called suppliers if you've been following along with this podcast. You've got some brands ready to go. What do you do? How do you get them on your site the right way? What are the things you should do before going live? That's what this show is about. We're going to break it up into two parts. John and I discussed this back on episode 5 of our Patreon podcast. Again, you can find that at patreon.com/dropshippodcast. If you want to listen to this whole thing or any of our back episodes for absolutely free, head over there, sign up. You'll only be charged when we put out new episodes and they're just $5. But today, you're going to get another piece of that for free as we talk about what are the things you should do before going live. And next week, we'll drop in part 2 of this conversation. So enjoy this week's episode of the Dropship Podcast.
So in our last episode, we were chatting about, sort of what we do before we call suppliers, like what do we set up and all of that sort of thing. In an earlier episode, we talked about calling suppliers and, you know, how do you deal with that? How do you go through it? What do? What do you say? What don't you say? All that sort of stuff. So in today's episode, we're going to pick up at, you know, you've called your suppliers, you know, you've got approved, you've set up accounts with some of them. What are we doing then? Getting the site ready to go live, uploading products, all that sort of thing. And I think, that can be a bit of a frustrating process for a lot of people. You know, you get approved with, say, 10 suppliers, you've probably got access now to hundreds of products in a lot of cases. Sometimes, depending on your market, you even get access to like thousands of products. I thought an interesting question to lead into that for you, Ben, would be like where do you start there? Let's say you got, you know, a bunch of suppliers. You did really well with your supplier approval stuff, and you've got access to, you know, hundreds and hundreds of products that you can now sell. But for a lot of people, it can take them a really long time to get all that stuff online. Do you start by chucking everything up on the site, or do you sort of get a bit selective with that in the beginning?
Yeah, I mean, just to wrap a bow around all the stuff we're going to have to talk about today, like there's so much to think about there, right? Like, yeah, I have this giant to-do list on a business that I have getting moving right now of like just even in the legal, like handle the legal stuff, the refund policy, privacy terms, shipping, connect to Facebook page, connect to Instagram page, connect Pinterest, set up Caro. Set up your location, set up your taxes, checkout, payments, general apps. Like there's a lot going on there, and that's not even like that's one page of 3 pages of things like you have to think about. And that's not even talking about the products, right? And then you have to, are you going to upload thousands of products? The first one, if you've never done it before, is going to take you a while, right? And there's many steps in here as well. And so, it's easy to get overwhelmed. It's easy to get to a place of like, I'm never going to be able to start, or I need to get all of this done before I do start. In fact, I'm kind of at that inflection point now. And I feel free to jump on my case, John, because I'm genuinely curious, like how to get moving to, and we can dive into that a little bit later. I'm happy to like share some details of where I'm at currently in this business that, where I bought a premium domain and like where we're sitting with that and like, how do I get off the ground? So like, I would say the very first thing I do, I want to know from the suppliers what's even worth uploading. Like if you get thousands of products from somebody, the odds that you're going to sell all thousands of those products are not good, right? There's an 80-20 to everything. And so what are the 20% of products that are actually selling? And then, hey, we really want to feature, I use this line all the time. We really want to feature you on our homepage or really build out your collection and feature certain products. What are your best sellers? We want to make sure that we get those prominent and forefront. And they're pretty good about telling you here's what sells, here's what stock we have left on what does sell, and here's what we think you should feature. I usually start there because the idea of like trying to get every brand you got approved for every single product up before you ever, you know, press the start button is insane.
I think you're right. There's a lot to do here in this space, and you do run the risk of getting overwhelmed or just taking a really long time to do stuff, which just pushes back the point at when you're going to go live and actually, you know, start testing your site, making your first sale, all of that sort of thing. And I always take the view that my aim here is getting to the point where I can make that first sale as quickly as possible. And I think that's, to me, that's kind of the most important thing. So I think you need to do enough that you can get to that point, because you can keep working on a lot of things after you get to the point where you can make your first sale. So, I mean, I'm like you. I mean, I have a checklist to go through before a site goes live, and there's a whole bunch of stuff in there. Maybe we can even put one of those together for people. That could be something we share out there. Just wrap together our own checklists and pop it out to people just as something to go through for anyone who's launching a new one of these. That's probably a helpful thing. But, yeah, I think definitely worth finding out, if you can, from your suppliers what their best sellers are. That makes life quite easy, particularly if they've got a large catalog, because you're right. Like, of the hundreds of high-ticket dropshipping sites I've looked at through consulting and coaching and with students in my programs, pretty much it's always, I would even say it's higher than 80-20. It's probably more like 90-10, in that 10% of your products or less will drive 90% of your sales. Now, you can't predict that completely in the beginning, but you can get some intelligence around that from your suppliers, of course, and that's where you want to start. The other thing I see a lot of people get, you get access to a big catalog from some suppliers, and there's going to be high ticket products in there, but then there's also going to be a lot of like sort of supporting products, accessories, things like that. I see this a lot, and people make the mistake of thinking, I've got to upload everything. They upload all this sort of lower ticket stuff. And in the beginning, I don't think it helps you to be uploading like thousands of products, particularly thousands of lower ticket products for one of these sites, because not only does it take a lot of time, but it creates you a massive SEO headache as well, right? If you just dump 1,000 pages on a site that are all unoptimized, and they're going to be in the beginning, you've got to go back and do a ton of work on that stuff over time. And if you're not going to sell most of it, that's just you just put yourself in a really tricky position. And it's, you know, I get people come to me a lot, and they've just uploaded every product under the sun that they can, and they've got like 5,000 pages on their site. And it's like, and I'm having a lot of trouble with SEO and straightening my site out to get it to rank well. And they've just got like thousands and thousands of low value pages. So I actually think in the beginning, less is a little bit better than more. Do you know what I mean? And over time, you can keep adding products as it becomes relevant to. So I try to say to people, don't get stuck into the trap of just wanting to upload everything you can in the beginning. Like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, yeah.
I think it varies by niche too, right? Like, so you can't, Chic Chandeliers, I would assume you had brands send you CSV files of thousands of products, right? And there was some courses out there who would tell you, yeah, just throw it in the back end as a CSV and upload it, and you'll have thousands of products on your business. That's a terrible idea. And then the other side of that is like, I'll use Spell It Girls for an example. When I would get, I don't even remember any of the brand names anymore, Smoke Daddy or something like that. I think they had two grills. They had two grills, yeah, and 10 accessories. And so I would own that. Yeah. I would spend a lot of time getting those 12 products right. And so I think it definitely varies depending what niche you're in, but I've never been in one of those like mega niches where you get CSV files of thousands of products. I've consulted people like that, and their websites are a mess when they just upload those CSV files and then hope for the best.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, totally. I mean, we set up a business for a client just recently, and I think we put about 10 suppliers on that initially, and not a single supplier had more than 10 products. Like you say, some suppliers had two products. There might have even been a supplier that had one product, you know what I mean? And that's just the nature of that market. Like, there's no suppliers in there with tons and tons of products. It's just the way it is. They focus on a smaller number of models, and that's what they do. But that makes life really easy. I mean, totally, if you're in that sort of space, you upload all of them. You just do it, because the time involved is not, you know, is not excessive. But, yeah, and you're right. Like, that first business I did, Chic Chandeliers, yeah, I mean, like, lights, there's like literally tens of thousands of products on the market. you know, in Australia. That was in Australia too. In the US, I dare say there's a lot more. And yeah, at the end of the day, of all the products I uploaded to that site, which was, you know, in the thousands, because at the time I didn't know better, right? Back early in my experience, we probably only ever sold multiple of less than 100 products. Totally. I mean, probably a few more sold individually, but the products that moved like repeatedly, yeah, it was probably fewer than 100 at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I would say on my Pellegrill site, it was 5. Less than 10, easily less than 10 total products that ever moved, right? It's just you nailed it with that 90-10, right? It's hard when you don't know what are those 10% going to be either, right? So it makes it tough. Look, we mentioned like all the to-do list stuff. I think it would be a good idea for us to put out a list or something, because like we could get drugged down a rabbit hole today. If you want to just like talk about products,
yeah.
I kind of actually want your opinion on some of this stuff, right? So I'm currently building out what I would consider a mega store, but we're doing one brand at a time. And I wrote down perfection versus best practices here. When it comes to like, you wrote what to remember when you're uploading products, you know, SEO, et cetera. And I wrote perfection versus best practices. And I genuinely want your opinion, because I'm such a perfectionist, and I'm actually doing this store in that manner for a specific reason. And I'm curious whether you think my specific reason is just BS, or whether I could use a smack in the ass from you as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I know where you're going with this. I think we've actually talked about this, like, just between the two of us before. We've had a conversation or an argument along these lines, seem to recall. But it's a good question. So, I mean, I know how you do, like, your product pages and your data, and I have some idea about what you're working on at the moment. And I think that's great stuff. But for the average punter who's getting into high-ticket dropshipping for the first time, right? Yeah, I don't think you need to overcomplicate how much you're doing on your product pages, particular perspective, right? Like how you're laying out information and all this sort of stuff. Is that what you're getting at? Like, is that what you're asking me about? Like how, I don't know, like when you talk about perfection, like what do you mean by perfectionism? What are you trying to perfect?
But you cut out of mine. I'm guessing you meant more of like, yeah, what do I mean by perfection? And so, when I say that, all right, so look, I'm just going to lay out my scenario. You tell me what you think. And I think when we actually, you and I start building a store, I'm going to do the same thing. And so the whole world will get to either laugh at me or like see the benefits. So I'm trying to play the long game here. I went out and I spent $5,000 on a domain that has a lot of authority and is 20 years old. Like this is a pretty powerful domain. And so what I don't want to do is set up rogue collections that have no purpose. Build out products that aren't optimized. I don't want to send a single signal to Google that is under optimized. I want them to love me the moment I put out anything, right? So the first thing I did, I bought that domain. It had links to 50 different blog posts. I paid my VA to recreate all 50 blog posts, redirect all old links or all URLs to new Shopify URLs. And that's it. That's all I've created on the site. And then like one brand at a time, we perfect the collection page and we perfect the products. And then we tell Google, hey, here's one whole silo, which is like one collection, one brand. Just have your bots run through this whole brand, right? And hopefully send them good signals and not send anything out. So when I say perfection, I mean like I don't at this point when I'm playing the long game, what I think this business can do, I don't want to just go to my manufacturer, download the images, throw them right up on Shopify, copy the whole description, throw it into my Shopify and call it a day, right? I don't want to do that. Yeah. I don't want duplicate content if I don't need to. But I'm in a different position than most people, right? I've got a couple team members, a partner that are doing these things. And so if it's just you in the beginning, that's a lot harder to have a long view, especially when you have a fuck ton more to learn outside of uploading products, you know, marketing and business strategies and cash flow management and all kinds of things that you're going to need to learn along the way, where I would say get up and run and get sales and optimize later.
I just want to jump in here real quick and say, if you're loving this show, the number one thing you can do to help us right now is to smash that subscribe or follow button and leave us a review. It really does help us to grow this show and reach more people. And you can do it right now while you're listening. And also, if you've got a friend or two that you know should be listening to this show, make sure you share it with them or just send them to dropshippodcast.com. We'd love to have them join us as well.
And real quick, I've got two additional dropshipping resources that we would love to share with you. The first is our free dropshipping Facebook group called The Dropship Tribe. It's all about high ticket dropshipping and you can learn a ton in there. All you need to do is jump onto Facebook and search The Dropship Tribe or go to facebook.com/groups/dropshiptribe and hit the join button. Now, if you're loving the Dropship Podcast and you want more, we actually have a members-only version of this show where we go even deeper into high-ticket dropshipping. We do question and answers with our members, website reviews, teardowns, and a whole bunch of other fun stuff. It's just $5 an episode, which is like a cup of coffee. And as a bonus, you get free access to our entire back catalogue of episodes when you join. So you can binge it without paying a cent. Just head over to patreon.com/dropshippodcast. And just as a note, you can find the links to both of those resources below in the show notes. Now let's dive back into the show.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head there. I mean, your approach that you're taking with buying an aged domain and all that sort of thing, nobody who starts in this, and even most people who've done it before, will ever do that from in the beginning, right? And so there might be a reason for the way you're going about it there. For the average person who's just starting out, particularly, no, don't do that. Don't do any of that, right? Well, not don't do any of that. I think there is things that are easy to do in the beginning that you should do for SEO purposes, like optimizing things like your page titles and all of that sort of stuff, you know, image file names, getting your image alt tags in there, all that sort of stuff, right? So, you know, like there's like a product uploading checklist that I have as well that I would give to somebody who's just starting out that includes a lot of the really basic, simple to understand SEO stuff. And I think you do want to do that in the beginning because you're going to have to do it anyway. If you don't do it in the beginning, you've got to come back and do it later. If you want to, you're going to have to straighten your SEO out, right? So there's no point doing that stuff twice, in my opinion. So yeah, to get to that, look, I mean, when I'm setting up a site, I write all the product descriptions so they're unique before the products go live. Now I do that, but once again, I've got a team of people who do that for me. Once again, if you're starting out at the beginning, you don't have that. Now, you could go out and hire people to do it if you actually understand how to do it yourself. But for me, I prefer not to put as fewer, I guess, hurdles in somebody's path to actually, like I say, getting live and starting to make sales. You don't need really optimized pages from an SEO perspective to make sales off paid traffic, right? You can rewrite your product descriptions later. Now, I don't suggest that you should leave it years before you do that. You need to do that fairly soon after, but, you know, at the end of the day, if Google saw some under-optimized pages in the beginning on a brand new domain, which is in a sandbox with them in the beginning anyway. Like if you've got a new domain, you aren't ranking in your first 6 months, no matter what you do, to the same extent that an older domain will. Like Google's acknowledged that that's a fact, right? So like publicly. So I think you do a lot of the basics when you upload your product, so you don't have to come back and do it later. But you also don't want to get so detailed with it that, once again, it's going to take you months to do because you're new at it and you don't really know what you're doing and you don't have experience and it's confusing and all that sort of thing. There's like a balance between doing some good stuff but also keeping the process easy to move through, particularly for somebody who's doing it the first time. Because otherwise you just get bogged down in it. And particularly if you're doing it yourself, you haven't hired people to do it for you, it's really easy to get bogged down. And I think that's the worst thing. Like that's the most demotivating thing ever. Stops people from getting live. And like I say, honestly, at the end of the day, right, the real truth is when it comes to SEO, you don't need the best site in the world. Right? Google is not comparing you to every other website that exists. They're comparing you to the other websites that it wants to rank on the pages that you want to rank for. Like if we're talking about product type terms, it's going to be against other e-commerce sites. And I guarantee you at least 70% of the e-commerce sites you'll go up against aren't doing good SEO either. Like it's easy to get trapped into this mindset of, oh, I don't have the best website in the world. Who cares? You just have to have a website that's slightly better than the people you're competing against. That's it.
A wise man once told me, money solves all problems. Sales solve all problems. So I do think there's two answers here, whether you're just beginning or whether this is something, you know, like my situation, I've done this, I built this, now I'm going after a whale. I'm going to do it a different way than if you're just starting. You go make some money. Money solves all problems. Yeah. Then you can hire people to do this stuff.
That's right. You can come back to it. You can improve things. I mean, like I say, there's a baseline of stuff that I would do in the beginning from an SEO perspective. Really simple stuff that absolutely you should do when you're uploading your products. But, you know, if you've got 200 products you're going to put on there, do you need to write a long form unique product description for every single one of those before you set them live and start running paid traffic to them? I'd say no, because for some people hate writing. They can't do it. Right. So what's going to happen? They're not going to do it. If you've got to do that. Yes, you do have to do that at some point, or you got to pay someone to do it. But do you need to do it before you go live? I don't think so. Do you need to obsess about having your product descriptions in all sorts of fancy columns and all of that sort of thing? No, you don't. Guess what? 80% of people are going to see your product pages on a mobile. It ain't going to matter. Right?
I'm over here nodding my head.
There's no data to suggest that more people buy on desktop anymore either. That's a furphy. I'll challenge that one to the ground.
I'm over here nodding my head. No, I just I like to make things all cute.
The one with columns will not convert better. If somebody wants to shoot me down on that, I'll show me the evidence.
You know, show me the evidence. So I'm over here trying to find a website. I don't know. Do you listen to My First Million podcast by chance, John?
I do not.
It's a great podcast. Sean and Sam are both really fucking annoying, and I don't think I'd be their friend in real life, perhaps. But the podcast is really good. It's all business ideas. It's good. Anyway, he mentioned the other day a website, and I can't find it for the life of me of like the first version of every website. And they're just constantly finding more first versions. And if you go look at them, they're horrendous. They're all really, really bad. The first version of Facebook, the first version of anything you can think of that you're looking up to, it was terrible, right? You have to MVP, you have to launch, you have to get moving, and sales solve everything. So while I want to argue with John about how I would like SEO to be done a certain way out of the gates, I consult with a lot of people who are doing really, really well, and they didn't have any of it right. You know, when we did make it right, did it make a big difference? Of course it did, but like they didn't have it out of the gates, and it wasn't a major factor in whether they were going to be successful or not successful.
Yeah. And look, I tell people that I teach, like, you just want to get launched, but you do need to start working on your SEO, further on your SEO, like as soon as you're launched. Like, don't wait 2 years to start working on your SEO. Like, you need to come back, get your paid traffic up and running, because you can start getting some data, some customer service happening, some feedback on your site, see what starts to sell, etc. Yeah, do that. And then straight away, start chipping into, you know, various elements of your SEO that you didn't do when you first set things up, because you don't want to wait to do that. You want to get that ball rolling, because it takes a little bit more time to get rolling and all that sort of thing. So absolutely, you're going to come back to that straight away. With my first site, that was one of my biggest regrets. I didn't think about SEO for like, I don't know, probably 2 years or something before I really started actually paying attention to that. You know what I mean? And I think that's a mistake. You want to reduce the roadblocks or the potential sticking points to getting live. I mean, I think that, yeah. So sales are everything. Like, you know, the momentum and the boost you get from making your first sales. I mean, you probably remember making your first sale, like
multiple, yeah.
Yeah. Remember how that felt. Like, that just drives you on, you know.
Still does.
Having that happen. Yeah, yeah.
The baseball store I was talking about, I was in a vehicle driving across the state to watch one of the Minnesota Twins minor league clubs play baseball across my state. I had my brother, my friend Bo, my friend Ben in the car. We're jamming out. We got some music going. We're just razzing each other, giving each other shit. And I feel like on the stereo, because I'm playing Bluetooth, it goes cha-ching. And I went nuts, man. I played W&W and Hardwell and Little John. If you know the song, if you don't, look it up. It'll fire you up. And I fired on it. I played it as loud as I could. I've got a JBL system and subs in my truck that came with the truck. I'm not that guy. I don't have the subs. But it came with it, and I played it as loud as I could, and I'm just, ah! And that's like my seven star, right? And it was still like, sales do something to you, man. Money does something to you. It changes you. It changes your outlook on things. It gives you motivation, and motivation comes after action. So you got to get those sales.
Oh yeah, look, it's addictive. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Like for me, it doesn't matter what I'm selling. Like selling physical products, selling courses, you know, whatever. Like it's addictive. And I think that's why I like to get people to that point as quickly as possible, because when you start doing that, you just want more, and that spurs you on to doing more work on your business, like finding new avenues to grow and get more of that happening, get that feeling back. That, I mean, it's just a dopamine hit, right? You know, it's hitting the pleasure center of your brain. So your body wants more of that.
I don't know if we'd get sued or I'd play it. It's called Live the Night. Go look it up. Live the Night, WW and Hardwell, Little John. If you're not fired up from that, I'll be shocked. But like, that's the mood I was in. Nothing describes your first sale mood than that song. I'm not going to lie to you. But sales change it. Look, I think when I think about this, right, if I'm just Joe Bag of Donuts creating my first store, here's some sad news. Your product pages aren't going to be your big SEO winners anyway. What you want to do is like get them good enough so that Google doesn't penalize you for the other pages that are going to crush for you. And so what do you need to do to get it good enough? Have an optimized title. Right around that is basically like hit the keyword the page should rank for if you ever were going to rank. Front load it if possible. Make sure that's in your URL. Front load it if possible. Break out some other headings on your page. Only have one H1. Maybe have an H2 to start the description. Break out your description into sections using H3s. Try to hit the keyword again if you can. Don't keyword stuff. Alt tag your images. Describe the actual image. Don't just keyword stuff your alt tags. Change the file name of the image while you're uploading it. You know, make all of them square. That's huge for the aesthetic of your site. Make them all one by one as you upload them. Rewrite the first paragraph, like actually give it a little bit of unique content. So when Googlebot comes there, they see, oh, okay, here's H1. That's what the site's about. Oh, I've never seen this type of content before. And then they probably leave anyway. They definitely don't scroll your whole page. So give it just like enough quality SEO on your product pages so that it doesn't bog down the rest of your site. I think one of the things, John, that I ran into recently, and I'm curious how you would solve this. I'm happy to share how I did. One of the brands we've been uploading, every product had like 9 bullet points that defined the product, and that was it from the supplier. That was it. And then when they sent over like, here's a bunch of stuff you can use for your product pages, it was those 9 different bullet points, which changed for each product. Basically, like, imagine if it was like weight, 300 pounds, this next one's 320 pounds, this one's 330. So the bullets are like slightly different. And then every photo they want you to use is the same besides the main image. All the little features that are inside their products, they're all the same on every single product they have. And so I'm genuinely curious from you, it wouldn't make sense to like, put all those products into one page and you know, make a drop down, do variants. They needed to be separated because they are that different, even though they're that the same. How do you handle that out of the gates? Let's say you have, I think there was 20 products from that brand. They're basically all the same, all the content's all the same. How did you make 20 pages unique or unique enough to get, you know, skate by Google's penalties?
Yeah. I want to be clear for people listening because they're going to misunderstand what you're saying a little bit. When you say Google penalties, you're not actually going to get a penalty, like an actual penalty for Google, like a manual action penalty. That's not what's going to happen.
Correct.
What Ben means is that your site's just not going to rank if you've got duplicate content, like those pages are not going to get indexed properly and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, behind the scenes, you get a score, right? Yeah. And you're just going to have a lower score with Google.
A lower score. That's right. That's right. Once again, though, I mean, is that for a brand new site for its first month or so, is that necessarily a massive problem? I don't think it is, because you can get Google to recrawl those pages and change that score over time. And the reality is Google will not significantly rank a new domain anyway because they have no trust for it. They don't want to.
All right, let me frame the other side of that problem. Maybe not for SEO terms, but you should care, right? Like,
oh yeah.
If all they sent you was 9 bullet points, what do you put on your page?
Yeah. So, yeah, this is a tough one for some people. For me, I like to write. So I would write some product descriptions for them. I mean, if you're saying that the products are definitely different products, then they're going to have some identifiable features that are different to each other. Otherwise, how would you know that they're different products? Then you must be getting some signal from either the supplier's data, the images or something that they are in fact different products, right? Otherwise, you should have them all on one product page because they're just variants. So whether it's in those features lists or something, there's going to be some identifiable things. So I will just write up some basic description dart fields, like a few paragraphs, you know, to go above, you know, your features list that, you know, sort of just talk about, you know, focus on the differences between the products. Like, you know, maybe it's three features. What are the benefits of those features? Da, da, da. Like, I'll probably keep it at that point fairly basic until I can learn more about the product. If you want some help with doing that, there's a few tools online that can help you do that. One's called CopySmith and one's called copy.ai from memory. They're like online tools. You can put a list of features into them and they'll actually spit out AI-generated copy. And actually...
Copy.ai is fucking wild, dude.
Yeah. They're actually often really good. I got to tell you. I was skeptical about these tools when I first heard about them, right? I was like, nah, that's fucking stupid. That's going to be shit. But then I did it and I was like, wow, some of the stuff they churn out, it's like, it doesn't make any sense, right? But if you put in like a list of features, it'll give you like seven versions of a piece of, you know, a few hundred words of copy, and like three of them will be nonsensical and then like three of them will be really good, like good enough. You can put it on your page and it would make sense to a customer. And it can help you to get over that hurdle of the what should I write. If you're somebody who like writing doesn't come naturally to, which is about 90% of people, right, are not natural writers, like just sitting down and typing and thinking up things to write, it's just like puts them off so bad. You can use a tool like that. I give those tools to people that I hire to write content and copy on my site. And it speeds up their process heaps, right? So those are some tools. But, yeah, I'm just going to put together at that point just to get, you know, because, yeah, you're right, as well as search engines, I mean, the customer's going to come to those pages and, you know, if they're just seeing something, a few dot points, and it's not really making any real case for why they should buy the product, your chance of a conversion is reduced. So you do want to have something on there. But in the beginning, you just do the best you can. Over time, you'll learn more about the products. Maybe you can go out to the supplier's location and actually check the products out yourself. Take some unique photos if they don't have any unique images. And I mean, this is probably something we'll talk about a bit more in the future. I think it's something you should definitely do if you can. Go and see your products in the flesh at your supplier's location. But yeah, in the beginning, you know, that's all I'm doing.
Few little things there. Sell enough of their products and they'll give you their products and you can take your own photos and have their product.
Well, yeah.
That's, of course. Every single one of your suppliers would love to give you product. That's just something I put out there. And then copy.ai, dude. So I have a couple of friends I play poker with on Wednesday nights that are big agency owners, and they use that to... When they onboard a brand, they will put like every page or all the products and like from their whole website into copy.ai, and it will just burn out headlines for them for ads and just like all sorts of different copy. I was blown away when I messed with it. I think they have a free trial on there. Go check it out. See what you guys think of copy.ai. It's pretty bananas. Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business. John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business. not just drop shipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat drop shipping businesses to PDF drop shipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for The Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out The Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.